Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the last Sunday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. Tonight's hosts are me, Patty, and
Sean,
and Owen.
We all attend Laytonville High School. Tonight, our topic is military recruiting in our schools, and is there a draft in our future? As the so-called war on terror continues to expand, the need for new military recruits increases. High schools and colleges have traditionally been the most effective source of young enlistees for the military. Students are met by recruiters on campus and offered funds for college education, career training, and an opportunity to travel. The citizens of San Francisco passed a resolution last fall which urges the banning of military recruiters from San Francisco's public schools and universities. The measure only expresses the will of the people of San Francisco and has no legal ramifications because the No Child Left Behind Act of 2001 prohibits the distribution of federal funds to schools that ban military recruiters. Also, the Solomon Amendment, a federal law currently under Supreme Court challenge, withholds federal funds from universities that ban military recruiters. Military recruiters offer education to students, yet two-thirds of all recruiters never get any college funding from the military. Recruiters offer job training to students, yet veterans are 2 to 5 times likely to end up homeless. Recruiters target poor people, people of color, and immigrants seeking citizenship. Recruiters do not mention the health hazards of the military service or the death rates of those in combat, nor do they point out the difficulties veterans have in trying to receive services after discharge. In Mendocino County, military recruiters were charged last year with supplying alcohol and drugs to minors and told some female candidates that they must have sex with them to be accepted. These Marine recruiters then had sex with several 17-year-old females and were found guilty of the charges, though only one was fined, lowered in rank, and not removed from service. Young women in the military are often the victims of sexual harassment. These are some of the topics we'll discuss tonight on Youth Speaks Out. We hope that you are interested in these subjects and will want to participate. We're at the Willett Studio, and our phone number will be 456-9991. We will encourage everyone to join in the discussion in about 20 minutes. So let's begin by discussing military recruiting on the campuses of Mendocino County Schools. Sean, have you ever been to a presentation by a recruiter?
Yes, I have. I've actually gotten out of class before to go to the library where they have the recruiting process being done, and any student interested can get out of whatever class they're in and go to it and listen to the presentation. There are a lot of kids there who just, there weren't that many who were actually, I'm not sure how many were interested in actually being in the military, but a lot of them were just there to get out of class, and some of them got interested in it just by being there. And, yeah.
How many, like, in Laytonville High School, how many people do you think oppose the military or military recruiters in campuses?
It's hard to say like an exact number who fully oppose it, but I'd say there might be, you know, maybe like 24 who are strongly opposed to the presence and stuff. And there's, you know, equal number or more who like it. And there's a lot of kids, I think, who don't really have too much of an opinion on the matter.
Right. I know currently at Laytonville High School, our school policy is one that military, if a student goes to our counselor or to our principal and requests a military presence at the campus or an option to join the military, the school will then bring a recruiter to campus. But they will come during lunch and present what the military options are during lunch. It normally isn't during class time at the recruiters.
No, I'm going to have to step in here, Patty. Just for the record, I've seen just as many meetings for conscientious objectors at lunch. More, in fact, even than military recruitments. I've been to several of these meetings, and I think, you know, these meetings attract children, kids, very much the same way that military recruiters do.
I quite agree. I know that at Laytonville High School, there is a consensus that both options should be given conscientious objectors and military recruiters on campus. But both of them are only offered at lunch. They will. Our policy is that no class time will be given to military recruiters or conscientious objectors. That's only for college campuses.
Which is fair.
Yeah. So I have heard over the past couple of months, I've heard talks about how military recruiters seem to manipulate high school students and the lower-age students, or ineligible young people, to get them to join the military. What do you think about this?
It does seem that the military recruiters, when they come to the schools and they talk to kids, the information that they give them, and not just the recruiters, actually, but the entire military presence, I think sometimes misinforms the students and, you know, anyone who they're interested in signing up for the military, doesn't give them the full picture of exactly what they're signing up for when they entice them into it. If you look at a lot of, like, ads on TV, the Army of One and Go Army ads and whatnot, often what they show is, you know, people doing interesting stuff, you know, people in different countries, people working with high-tech ships and flying jets and stuff, and that's good, but I think that they might not show the some of the uglier sides of military enlistment.
Yes. I know that I was reading a column from the Boston Journal, or the Boston Globe, sorry, and it was talking about how military recruiters sometimes manipulate students on high school campuses by targeting the leaders of the school. They go and they find, like, the star football player, the student commission person, or the president of the school, and they hang around with them. They, you know, they become friends and buddy-buddy up with them. So all the students looking up to those people will see, oh, they like the military, they accept the military, maybe that'll make me cool too. They don't target those people because they think those people will join the military. It's the people that look up to those.
Well, I think that's only, you know, a very reasonable thing to do. You know, when a major company is doing an ad for a new shoe or whatever, they go for the big celebrities, you know, these big sports stars, movie stars. You know, it's the power of association there. And that's, you know, the best way to attract attention.
Well, how do you feel about the attention that the military attracts? And there's a lot of other state funding programs that give people options, like the CCCs in California, the fire department, all these programs that, you know, are state jobs and or national jobs. In the military, though, put so much advertisement into it, so much more. And do you feel like it's different, or it should be allowed, or how do you feel, Sean?
Overall, like, the Pentagon spends $2 billion a year targeting high-achievement, low-income youth with commercials and personal visits and brochures. I think there's a lot of focus on that, and they spend a lot of money doing it. And the question sort of is whether or not people are joining because they want to, you know, join the military and they know what they're signing up for, or whether or not they're signing up for something else. Because I wouldn't say that the military is at all bad, and there's nothing wrong with signing up if that's what you're interested in, if that's what you're going for. But I think a lot of students don't really know what they're signing up for until they're there.
Right. Like, I know I've been to a couple, like, fairs around the county, and the military will have a presence there, and I always notice it, and all the young people seem to notice it, because it's the spot where it attracts the most attention, that they have, you know, the big lights, the loud music, you know, all the things that, I mean, I want to go do, and it's the military. It's not something that provides a different option, like a job occupation or something like that. The military, like, just seems to have a stronger presence in advertisement than any other job occupations around the country and in the nation.
I think any firm or group or anything is going to go for these places, you know, the fairs and the places with the big lights and, you know, the big crowds. I don't think it's a military thing in general. It's just common sense.
Right. Well, also, though, presently, the military seems to be getting desperate. They have fallen 25% short of the already reduced recruiting goals last month. This is raising the enlistment bonuses to $40,000 in some cases. I think, like, obviously, the military is trying to put in that extra advertisement and that extra benefits. you know, because they are getting desperate. And
yeah, and I wonder if that shows whether or not that's an issue of whether or not they're advertising well enough, or whether there's a lack of support for the military occupation, the war itself. Is that what that's sort of like a signal that people aren't willing to sign up for it?
Right. Well, also, it's like, I think the military has just, like, a really amazing, they've caught on to what attracts youth. I mean, mm-hmm. obviously, like, just showing with the brand styles how big brand names are with just people mm-hmm. our age. And, you know, we are attracted to, like, certain brands, and the military is one of those.
I'd like to go back to something Owen said a little while ago. We were talking about, like, talking about this and the military targeting the leaders in schools and the, you know, the popular kids. And Owen, you commented that this is okay because most, you know, any company would do this. But the military being a high-hazard occupation should be regulated, I think, in the same way that, like, tobacco and liquor and, like, alcohol companies were. I mean, the big Joe Camel celebrity of Camel cigarettes a while ago was shut down and, you know, limited the use because it was sort of falsely advertising an image for these for the dangers of cigarettes.
Yeah. I completely agree. So one of Owen, do you know what some of the military is trying to advertise? Like, I mean, obviously to join the military, but like, what benefits are they?
Well, they encourage lots of things. You know, money for college is one. You know, they say a lot of, you know, the skills you achieve in the military will be useful later in life, and I tend to agree with most of this.
I'm reading a thing here in there's a little paper out by the Mendocino County Veterans for Peace, and they're talking about the promise of getting money for college. I'm pretty sure something like two-thirds of people who go in there, two-thirds of them don't get any money for college, who said that they would.
We have to remember the source this is coming from also, Sean. Veterans for Peace is obviously a group that's very much for peace and probably has a less welcoming stance towards the military, a more unwelcoming, maybe even negative stance towards the military.
Does that change the statistic, though?
Well, we can't be necessarily true that the statistics are true, you know. Everyone's guilty of, you know, changing statistics and altering them to, you know, achieve the kind of effect they
These were studies done by professional firms, not the actual group.
And they are all veterans also. But let's move on from that. Another thing, though, on the education that I want to make a point on is that although the military does give an option of education when you enlist in the military, but I've read several interviews with people, and they have said that, you know, with the rigorous hard training that you go through every single day in the military, once you're done and, you know, once you're done with the physical part of it, you don't want to have to go and sit through, you know, hours of classes. And so I think also the military doesn't provide the right circumstances for education. They want, you know, physical shape. One of Dick Cheney said, this is a quote from him, said, "The reason to have military is to prepare to fight wars. It's not a job training program." And that is, like, the object of the military, to be prepared for war and the physicalness of that, well, not education.
Of course, that's the, you know, point of the military, but I think there's many spillover benefits. You know, certain skills you achieve or gain while in the military, discipline, honor, strength, these are skills you can use throughout your life in a variety of occupations.
But do you think that the military should change its program somewhat to allow more people to become educated when they are in their program?
I agree. I mean, if they're advertising as a sort of, you know, as a way to get money for college or to learn these skills, I think, you know, if they did that, that would be great, because it seems the military is, it would be a great way for a lot of people to, you know, see more of the world and experience these different things outside of, you know, their hometown and get a feel for more stuff than just what they've been seeing. But I think they aren't adequately providing what they promised.
Well, if they're promising money for college, I think college is obviously the place where you go to learn about occupations and how to do your job. The military, you know, has a very strict and definite, you know, line of what you are expected to know.
But
and
2/3 of the people don't get any of that money for college.
Yeah, or education. So
I was reading another thing here, and they're talking about what people in the military would have to do to get that money, the money that they were promised and stuff. And there was a list of requirements that they had to, you know, maintain perfect rank and stuff. And even at the end, if they, like, met, and they have to contribute $100 every month. And even at the end of that, if they've met all them, still their officer can deny them that money. And actually, this says here that the Pentagon actually makes money off of the college money program in the military. They're actually making a profit off it from the money that people put into it.
Right. So what other benefits does the military provide, Owen? You were talking something about job opportunities. What type of job opportunities do you think?
Well, first of all, you know, the military isn't all about fighting and killing. There are many other jobs in the military, technical jobs, communications jobs, jobs where you're never actually firing a weapon or putting yourself in the line of fire.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But as I mentioned earlier, the skills you learn in the military and the things you gain from being in the military are things that you can use throughout your life and in whatever occupation you choose to go into afterwards.
I certainly agree. There are certain abilities and stuff that are gained in the military, like you're saying, the discipline and stuff, and just some general information that you can learn, but I don't think it's quite adequate enough, and I don't think they prepare people once they dismiss them from the military, once you're released. I read a study that 1/3 of all homeless people in the United States right now are veterans. These are people who, you know, were in the military. Once they got out, they didn't have the adequate tools, or else they were somehow mentally or emotionally damaged by their experiences in the war.
Well, 1/3 is a large number. It's not a majority. But who knows, the other 2/3 of people could be people who chose not to go into the military and drop out of school instead. We don't know for sure.
Well, I'd like to make a point on what Owen is saying. One of the things that I've been just thinking about as someone in high school, that I noticed that the military seems to be one of the only programs that gives people who aren't college-bound an option to get out of whatever situation they're in. A lot of times, you don't see, like, and I think that might be one of the pros of the military, maybe not during wartime, because you get, you know, sent over to whatever war is being fought, but it gives, you know,
an option
to have money to get out of a situation that you don't want to be in. And I think that's actually, and that helps increase job opportunity and job skill when someone who wouldn't have any job skill at all joined the military and got themselves together a little bit more and had something more to offer to when they got out of it.
I certainly agree with you, and I think there definitely should be more programs, you know, in the works for people who maybe don't want to go to college, maybe people who have a hard time, you know, getting the higher grades, people who want to go and do construction work, or, you know, there's lots mm-hmm. of good jobs out there. And sadly, right now, the only other program offered out there is, you know, our nation's welfare program, which is definitely a mess and basically rewards a lot of people for doing nothing and contributing nothing to society. And, you know, in that case, the military definitely looks very good because not only is someone, you know, serving their country and going out, but getting all these skills, they're getting a paycheck also, and it's earned work.
Yeah, there's a serious lack of trade programs in our schools because while the military is an option for kids, you know, straight out of high school, you know, not if people who aren't college-bound, it is an option, but I don't think it should be their only option because it's sort of, you know, there should be more choices than that or more than the more choices than the welfare option too, you know. You should be able to get a good education not in just, you know, reading and writing and math and stuff, but also, you know, some trade. I think every school should have some basic trade learning program or else have a more visible a presence of trade school recruiters because I've never seen a trade school recruiter on our campus or heard of one, and I think a lot of kids aren't even aware of that option.
All right. I agree. So I want to change the subject a little bit and talk about women in the military.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have a very horrific statistic that I got off of www.objectors.org that says that 90% of all enlisted women in the military have reported sexual harassment in interviews.
Mm-hmm.
90%, that's a horrifying statistic. And so, obviously, how do you feel about as two, I mean, I'm horrified, but mm-hmm. as two males, how do each of you guys feel about that?
Well, I think the most horrifying thing about that statistic is it seems almost unbelievable. I question the truth to that. But even then, even if it is true, people have, you know, different definitions of sexual harassment. Some woman, you know, if she is called a babe, maybe you might report that as sexual harassment. It's not necessarily, you know,
a derogatory term.
Assaulted or...
But doesn't every person, male or female, have a right to walk down the street and not be sexually harassed, whether or not it's a derogatory term yelled at them or being grabbed or molested or raped, something like that? And the statistic that I have is 30% of that 90% were raped. And so, I mean, that it's not just being called babe, obviously. So, like, and whether or not the statistic is true or not, how do you, as males, feel is wrong with the system? Because obviously something's wrong here.
It seems really ridiculous that they're, I mean, you're integrating the military and stuff now, and, you know, it's male and female, but it seems like they're not even doing that. If this is true and this is what's happening, it seems like this is, you know, it's still a male-run program, and the integration never really happened at all. You just have victims, you know, men, and then there's the victims, the women.
You know, another thing about this, you say 90% of people have reported sexual harassment in the military.
Right. Women.
I'd be willing to bet that, you know, a higher percentage than that out of the military has reported sexual harassment. Almost every woman, it's a sad truth, but almost every woman has experienced some form of sexual harassment, you know, in their lives. And that's just the sad truth, and, you know...
Well, obviously there has been all these laws made against women in workplaces, and this is what the military is. It's a workplace.
Mm-hmm.
Against women being sexually harassed. And whether or not... I mean, I don't know what to say about women outside of the military, but this is a job. And 90% of all women in this job are being sexually harassed. There's obviously, like, there's nothing stopping this mm-hmm. from happening. So what do you guys think as males, and, I mean, I don't think women are, maybe they are sexually harassing themselves, but as probably the majority of women are being harassed mm-hmm. by males, how do you propose that this be stopped?
I think just there needs to be stricter military enforcement of the rules, you know? If a woman reports being sexually harassed, then, you know, she should, you know...
But should it be... How do you stop it before she has to report it? So how do you stop it from ever happening so she doesn't have to report it?
I think, if there were stricter punishments for it, you know, I think it would deter a lot of men from even beginning to sexually harass people. And more importantly, I think that's largely a societal issue, you know. The fact that men are harassing women doesn't really have to do with... I mean, it shouldn't require, like, you know, the government to step in and make it illegal. It should be wrong. I mean, it is wrong. And I think that's a societal issue, not so much of a military law issue.
Right. Thank you. Also, one thing that falls along sort of the same thing as women being sexually harassed is the health risks to the military.
Mm-hmm.
Such as, you know, vaccinations, exposures to hazardous materials, combat, all these type of things.
Yeah. This goes back to what we were saying about people who, you know, enlistees and stuff, being recruited without really knowing what they're getting into. And, you know, like we were saying, you lose a lot of your basic rights when you join the military. You're not under normal American law. And I think that people should be told more, you know, openly and publicly about what's happening, about the fact is, yes, we are using depleted uranium to fight these wars. Yes, it does cause bad things, you know. And I think a lot of people aren't even aware of that, you know.
Well, I think that's one of the problems with just the whole system and how our society is willing to portray the military.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we sort of think of the military as this, you know, this good thing, and or some people do, some people don't. But what we aren't willing to do is show the side effects, the downside mm-hmm. effects to it. And although it might help people, although it might kill people, everything you need to show things both ways, good and bad. And so, and like that, to know the truth, like that's what a democracy is to really know the truth about something. And I think that military recruiters aren't really showing that to the students.
Well, I don't think there really is very much of a lack of truth. I think for the most part, people know what they're getting into when they go into the military, you know. People know it's not going to be all fun and games, you know, lollipops and flowers and sugar. People know that, you know, there's a rougher side to the military, And, you know, it's just like the warnings on cigarette packages. Every cigarette pack comes with a warning label on it. Then people get upset when they get cancer, and it says it right there on the pack. And I just, you know, I have a hard time understanding that.
But what happens when you sign up for the military and it looks the situation worldwide is completely peaceful? You have no intentions of going out and going to war with someone or having anything like that happen. And so you're just there, you know, you're getting into shape, you're getting money for college, you're doing something like that. And although it might be hard work actually, you know, going through the training, you're not killing people.
It's my knowledge that when you sign up for the military, you're signing up for a combat or any of these rules associated with wartime. Even if there is no war, that's what you sign up for. That's what you're trained for. I mean,
okay. All right. Well, take this example. What about the National Guard? We are now recruiting people or drafting people currently who are in the National Guard and sending them over to Iraq. That, although the National Guard is part of the military, it isn't made for military combat. Mm-hmm. You're protecting the homeland. You're not going
National Guard, you know.
Yeah, you're not going overseas. And so, like, those people signed up for, mm-hmm. you know, protecting the homeland, you know, being on coast watches and that kind of stuff. And so they were lied to when they, you know, they were saying, this is what you do. You won't be shipped overseas.
I don't know what the job application for, you know, the National Guard looks like. I'm not sure. It may include in it, you know, a possibility of being shipped overseas. It may not. If there is no mention of military activity in there and people are still being shipped over, then it's wrong. But otherwise, you know, it's just another risk and people need to be ready for it when they sign up if it says in there that, you know, there's a possibility of that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, I mean, just to go back to the point, you know, and I think people should be told exactly what they are, you know, what could be possible. And that there should be, you know, complete honesty in what could happen and stuff. And they should show the caskets coming home. They should show all that. And if someone, after knowing that, if they still want to join the military, more power to them. You know, that's a great thing. I think there should be a little more clarification, honesty in the advertising program by the military.
Right. We don't see the caskets coming home. And when you are signing up for the military, they don't say, oh, you could be shooting, you know, a little girl in the face or something like that.
But
you know,
do you have to see the caskets? People know that, you know, people die in the military. It's reported on the news that people die in the military.
But
I don't think anyone out there has a false knowledge that nobody dies in the military.
Okay.
Statistics are one thing, bodies are another. I think it's a matter of image and the impact of that. I mean, you see a dead body coming home, it's more serious than, you know, a number, three people died, three.
Exactly. Okay, so we're going to open the phone lines now. The number is 456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call, and we'd especially like to encourage the youth, their parents, and the concerned friends in the listening audience. Please call in if you have any questions or insights about military recruiting in our community. If you are beyond school age, were you given presentation or on the joining the military while in school? The phone number is 456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 456-9991. Please call and be a part of this discussion on military recruiting in Mendocino County schools and the possibility of a draft in the future. We'd really like to hear from you. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks. Good show. I'm just concerned that there's about as much missing from the dialogue here as there is from your history books at school. And that's probably, you know, the reason why, I mean, because you're both right. I mean, the one guy saying, hey, these people should know what they sign up for, and they should. And on the other hand, the misrepresentation starts in your history class. I mean, because you have to understand that the U.S. military is there to make sure that you get all your stuff at the low prices and made out of the convenient, you know, petroleum and this and that and the other. And they've been doing that for, you know, there's a book by General Smedley Butler that you guys should be reading in your history class called War is a Racket. They've been doing this, you know, for about as long as we've had a military. And but with the oil machine, you know, having to go out and supply the needs of the consumer society that we have going here, That takes, you know, bodies. And just because they, you know, aren't declaring a war like, you know, they are here with Iraq, we've been having little wars all over the world, you know, for 50, 60 years, however long, and we need those bodies. And if we're not telling the truth about why and what's going on really with the military and what their function is, I mean, all you got to do is look at the oil map around the world and mm-hmm. see our military is lined up at every spot to protect and enlarge and grow, because that's, you know, capitalism has to grow. It's like a cancer, and I think the one guy was totally correct. He said when, you know, people smoke cigarettes, you know, they got to be aware they're going to get cancer. Well, that analogy, I think, applies exactly to the military. Being in the military is being part of a cancer that's growing and eating this, you know, earth away. And it's the military is the cancer is the corporations and capitalism, and the military is the arm that is spreading it. And if kids don't know that, I suppose they're going to go sign up and think they're going to college. I don't know, but anyways, I think a lot of that history and a lot of the real reasons for our military, especially today, is missing from your dialogue. Smedley Butler, War is a Racket, I'd read that. And I'd also read Confessions of an Economic Hitman. You know, get to know that stuff. You'll know history. You'll know what our military is really about. And you might, you know, have an informed decision whether to sign in with that or not.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
The caller was completely correct. Like, even if you look back to when Columbus came to America, we have tainted the history so much that we put it to how we want to project ourselves.
I think the notion of the military as a cancer is blown way out of proportion. I don't believe that's accurate at all. And, you know, also with this stuff about capitalism and stuff, you can draw whatever connections you want. I don't think it's really related in this case.
Caller, you're on the air.
Let me turn off my radio. Could you re-identify your guests and who they represent? Because I'm hearing some very biased material coming out of people's mouths, and I'd like to know where they're coming from. And I'll take my answer on the air. Thanks.
Yes, my name is Patty Martin.
My name is Owen. I represent myself.
My name's Sean O'Neill. I'm a student at Laydenville High School. I've lived here most of my life. I represent myself, my opinions about these issues.
Right. All we are saying is our opinions and how we perceive the military. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, I was kind of curious myself. Actually, I'm a veteran. Fortunately, I wasn't in combat or I was in between wars. One thing I haven't heard mentioned, is how you go into the military, Marines, the Army, Navy, you are trained to be a killer. And that does change you as a person. And I know so many friends of mine who served in Vietnam, who came out, who weren't wounded there, but came out psychologically wounded because of what the Army, the Marines had trained them to be. Mm-hmm. And it is an illusion to think that you... If you go into the Army, you have any idea what the Army is all about. For example, our country is unique because we are lucky we have escaped a world war. But we are the only country in the world where being in the military is considered a major career. We have soldiers in 123 countries, 750 bases. It's made us tremendously unpopular around the world, and when I hear it discussed as a career move, it's absolutely extraordinary. It shows kind of the result of not having a real understanding of what the world is about and what happens to people when they go into the military. Not everybody. But I really think you should consider, for me, these recruiters who come around lying to the schools, and I have seen them in the schools lying. Before the war in Iraq, some student asked a recruiter at Ukiah High if he could be in war in Iraq. He said, oh, no. He knew well. So here he is back here sending young people off to die. And I think you really have to start discussing the issues as they are, not in some playland that I think you're discussing them. At least the two guys are. And I've heard, I love your show. Tonight, however, I really think you needed to have somebody there who has some idea of what the military is all about. I'm sorry, you two guys, you don't. I'll take my comments off the air. Thank you.
Thank you. I would like to remind everyone that the number is 456-9991. We'd love to hear from everyone.
You know, I'm not saying the military is perfect in any way. Nothing is perfect. The military does offer a good career to many people. It gives you benefits. Veterans get benefits. You know, it offers you a direction in life. It keeps you from sitting down and doing nothing for the rest of your life. And that's all I have to say about that.
I think that one of the point that last caller was trying to make, and I completely agree with him, is that, I mean, especially our generation has been targeted towards, like, video games and all these, like, movies and everything that shows, like, killing. And we desensitize it. We don't really feel what killing really is about. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, and the caller had a really good point, is, like, when you are in the military and you are in combat, you don't, no one, no matter how well you know about the military, no one can experience actually killing someone until you are there doing it. And you will never know if you like it or not until you are there actually doing that sort of thing.
Yeah, just like to what you said, Owen. I was saying that it's an option stuff, and it is. I know that there are people who go to the military, they have a good time, they come back, they're okay. But I think a lot of people get that sort of image of what it would be like, and I agree with the caller that there needs to be more understanding of exactly what the war is and, you know, why you're in a war, what the military is doing and stuff. When you sign up for that, there needs to be a better understanding.
All right. Caller, you're on the air.
One of the requirements for most universities to let corporations recruit on their campus is that they have a non-discriminatory mm-hmm. hiring policy. And yet the military has a very clearly discriminatory policy in that they won't accept gay people. So this is going to be decided in the courts whether the universities that have refused to allow recruiters on campus because they discriminate, or whether that's going to be a good enough excuse. I think it's an interesting point.
Yeah. They're threatening to cut the funding of the people who refuse to do that, even though they're simply following the rules that they have for every other employment agency that comes seeking for recruits.
Yeah, well, I think also, and it's been mentioned in your program, I'm happy to note, that in many ways the military is recruiting people who don't have many choices. You know, if you think you can go to college, then you're more likely to do that than join the military. Mm-hmm. If you think you can't, then you say, well, you know, I'm either going to be working at Burger King or I'm going to go in the Army, so I guess I'll go in the Army. It's an economic compulsion, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks for your good show. I'll keep listening.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm just wondering, since you guys keep on talking about the military as a job, I mean, I'm curious to know, what kind of job can't you quit? Like, what kind of job are you in a situation where if you don't shoot the guy that's in front of you that's an enemy, you're shot? Like, I mean, what kind of job qualifies that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a very good point, caller. One of the things that you do when you join the military is you give up some of your rights, and that's it isn't really a known fact, and one of those rights is being able to just say, no, I don't want to do this anymore. Once you're there, you're stuck there for however many years, like the 6 or 8 years you're in the military and on reserve.
I have to disagree here. You know, the military, it may be the only job where you're signing up to go and kill someone, unless you're a hitman or something of that sort, but, you know, any sports star who signs a contract with a major team, you know,
yeah,
they're compelled to play for that team. They can't just quit and leave, or they're going to be fined.
But I have a question. Would you work for Walmart if you knew Walmart tortured its customers?
Oh, you know, that would depend in more specific details of what was involved.
Well, the caller does have a point, because although sports contracts bind you to whatever you're supposed to be doing, the military makes you do it. You cannot, if you are over in Iraq right now and you say, I don't want to be here anymore, you're screwed. You're stuck over there. You don't have that choice to say whatever.
Signing up for the military is just signing a contract. It's no different. You know that you're going to be I mean, people know when they sign the contract that they're under the control of the military.
Then how come so many people come back and they say, wow, I didn't think that was going to happen?
Well, you know, it's easy to underestimate things. A lot of people, I'm sure, do underestimate it. A lot of others don't.
I think people aren't told, is what they...
So, yeah, exactly. Don't you think that the information about, you know, what exactly is going to happen should be more vividly put out instead of being kind of, like, sugar-coated?
Yeah, you shouldn't have to guess what it's going to be like. You shouldn't have to estimate, you know, or underestimate. You should be told right away and, you know, then sign the contract once you know.
Yes. Thank you, caller, very much.
Yeah, thank you.
But that is one thing that I really would like to touch up on. What that caller was trying to say and the point I made with it is that you give up when you go to the military, not only you give up your freedom of speech, you give up all these rights that every normal person as a U.S. citizen has, but as someone in the military doesn't have.
Mm-hmm.
You are punished if you are honest, if you are gay or bisexual, all these types of things, and that shouldn't be, whether it's, when you are joining the military, it should just be another occupation, but you are allowed to keep the same rights as when you were a U.S. citizen. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Rhoda Teplow. I'm from the coast. I want to commend you for the research that you've done before you've gone on the air and for educating yourself about the draft. I really want to commend you. My second point is that when a recruit signs his contract, he is a GI. He is a government issue, meaning he has given up his civil rights.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a serious thing. He's no longer under our civil laws. He's under military laws. The third thing I want to state is this is a community problem. We must offer our youth other opportunities besides, as the other person said, going into Burger King or the military.
Mm-hmm.
There is more to that in our community. But we as business people or educators have to show the students what else there is in the community to do. And it takes creative minds, it takes organizing, but we have to send recruiters for business,
mm-hmm.
for education, for nonprofits into the school, so that it's not only the recruiters that come in.
Right.
Thank you so much for this program.
Thank you.
Thank you. To touch on another civil liberty that you lose, like this last caller was saying, is you are punished without a trial of jury. It's whatever the government decides you should be punished as. I mean, you don't have a jury. You don't have your fellow citizens deciding whether or not you're guilty or not. It's whether or not the government deems you are. Once again, the number is 456-9991. Please call in.
You know, I think it's very exaggerated, you know, the civil liberties that you lose when you do go into the military. I think that we're focusing on a very pessimistic view of the military here. And, you know, I'd like to go back to what a caller said. I think it was one of the first callers we had about people coming out of the military, you know, with psychological damage. And I'm sure that's true. I know it's true. But there are also a lot of people coming out of the military very proud. For many people, being in the military is the one thing in their lives that they can say that they're very proud of. And I think it's a big insult to these people to, you know, talk about the military like this, talk about how it isn't an option for young people, and, you know, just basically putting it down.
I'm not trying to insult people. I'm just trying to show my point of view.
And educate the people before they sign up.
Right. But another thing is, like, saying your civil liberties aren't really violated. Well, all that information about the torturing in Iraq this summer, that was illegal for the United States to find out about. That was someone who went against the military law and told
mm-hmm.
us about it. You are not allowed to tell about the what is going on over in Iraq. It is so limited. Your free speech is limited to those things. And until you are under those conditions, you cannot say whether or not it's good or bad or you notice it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Caller, you're on the air.
I just want to make one comment about the Veterans for Peace. When it was stated, well, you know who they are, they're for peace. My goodness, I mean, that spoke a volume to me. Yes, they're for peace, aren't we all? And when we're lied to about situations where people are being killed and maimed and tortured, have we gone back again to the 60s where saying you're for peace becomes equivalent to saying you're non-patriotic or you're not a game player or you're some kind of other type of creature? Peace, you bet. I'm all for it, and I'm all for, I think the Vets for Peace are one of the few groups that have earned the right to stand tall and have an opinion. They've been there, they've seen it, they understand exactly. That's all.
Definitely.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, a lot of the people that, I mean, we're sitting here making our opinions, but I mean, I'm not over in Iraq, I'm not in the military, and none of us are, and so we really have to a certain extent, really experience it to really know what it's like.
Peace, 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 peace. You know, peace is good. Peace, I mean, peace is good. It's more than good. It's great, but, you know, it always, peace isn't always a solution to things. You know, there's a lot of things that can't be solved by peace, and it'd be a better world if everything could be solved by peace.
But who are you representing when you're talking?
I'm representing myself.
And
my views.
Have you been in the military before?
I am not old enough to be in the military yet, ma'am.
Oh, I was just curious because you speak with such a belief system in place, and I'm wondering, doesn't it bother you that you were lied to about the presence of the weapons of mass destruction for bringing us into Iraq in such a explosive, literally destructive way?
I don't believe I was lied to because I never did believe there were weapons of mass destruction.
So it didn't bother you to you that the line was not true because you already are so desensitized to thinking that you would be told the truth by your government that you didn't even bother to believe the story that it was placed in?
Whether it was a lie or not is subject to personal opinion. There are also stories that there was faulty intelligence. You know, it's up for debate whether it was a lie or not. I'm positive there are other factors involved, you know,
but
besides
still,
the weapons of mass destruction.
Do you support the military? I mean, the military action there, I mean, if peace, I mean, like, isn't peace the option here? I mean, wasn't it the solution, you know, was to not have this war?
Yeah, if we didn't say that there was weapons of mass destruction, we wouldn't have been in Iraq to begin with. That was why we went to Iraq.
And if we wanted Saddam Hussein, don't we have him now?
Yeah.
I mean, there's another point. I'm wondering, with all due respect, have you read 1984?
Yes, I have.
I'm talking to the...
No, I haven't.
Well, please come back on after you've read that, and we'll talk some more.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, I would like to inform all the listeners that the opinions that all three of us are giving are our own opinions. We are not representing the radio show. Mm-hmm. We are only representing ourselves. And we know it is a controversial issue, and just please respect that. And once again, the number is 456-9991. Please call in and tell us what you think. Caller, you're on the air.
Okay, thank you. The fact keeps being brought up that people, the high school students that are signing up for the military, aren't always informed about what they're getting into.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with that, but isn't it somewhat their responsibility to find out before they sign up? I mean, if you went and bought a car, wouldn't you find out all the information about it before you bought it?
I definitely agree. You can't just sign something without knowing about it. I mean, the used car example is great. You don't buy a used car. You don't believe everything the used car salesman tells you because, you know, a lot of it probably isn't true.
But what my viewpoint is on this is that the way you do find out about it is from the military. You find out all the pros and the cons. But if it's the military that's lying to you, you can't really find out about it. I mean, if the people that are over there, their freedom of speech is limited, and they can't really talk about it. And
with the cars things, there's other people who rate the cars and stuff. But, you know, like we were saying, we have the Veterans for Peace, and there are people who are there, and they're rating the military, and you called them liars.
I never called them liars.
You called them biased.
Well, everyone's biased in some way or the other. It's unfortunate, but, you know, it's pretty impossible to get a centrist view on anything these days.
Caller, did we answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello, my name is Karen. Anyway, I'm just calling to comment what you were saying about the war. I believe, you know, people need to conserve here. We're using Earth's resources. And anyway, we're fighting this whole war because we don't want to conserve energy. And if we could be more conservative and take care of the Earth in the way that God has loved us to be custodians of her, and that we don't waste energy, and we wouldn't find ourselves in the deep shit that we're in already.
Yeah, I agree. Many people believe that this war is for oil and stuff, and it wouldn't be an issue, that this resource wouldn't be an issue if people were willing to conserve energy and, you know, look at feasible alternatives to the use of oil.
Yeah, I mean, we're causing it. The American public, it's not George Bush, it's the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're causing this war. We're driving our cars, and statistics show that we're driving more than ever, and we're using more energy. And even when George Bush came out and said, we're addicted to oil and we need to cut back, people are using more.
Yeah.
You know, what's wrong with this picture?
I mean, here you have even George Bush acknowledging, you know, that we do need to find alternate solutions, alternate energy solutions. And I agree with you completely, caller. We do need to, you know, change the way we do things.
Well, one of the ways we could change it is, I mean, alternate energy is one of the ways. I mean, George Bush...
Less, you know, don't take your vacation just because you think you need to drive to that 1,000 miles in your motorhome.
Yeah.
You could just go to a little park by where you live and, you know, get a vacation having a picnic, you know, and only drive 2 or 3 miles as opposed to thousands.
Thank you, caller, very much. One of the things the caller was saying is absolutely correct, but, I mean, personally, I'm just afraid that that would be a huge... In order to conserve more, we just have to change our whole culture in a very drastic way.
Well, if that is the problem, though, we do need to focus more on that and, you know, not complaining about George Bush or complaining about the military. That's not the way to solve problems.
Complaints, this is our problem, and we need to deal with it.
It is.
As
we need to just deal with it and stop complaining about it.
All right. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you very much for the show. And let me say from the start, I'm one of those biased Veterans for Peace members. In fact, I have just come from our monthly meeting in Boonville of Veterans for Peace. And the thing that strikes me the most about your dialogue here, and I think it's great you're doing this, and I would encourage you to make this an ongoing thing. 1 hour is not even going to scratch the surface, is the amount of naivete that probably all of you show, and that has to do with your age. And I was in the same exact boat as you were at the age in which I was. In high school, and the lessons that I was taught. Now, I'm 61 years old. I've never had any kids, so I have no idea what you're being taught in school these days about history and so forth. But if it is in any way the same as what I was taught, most of it is a bunch of crap. Now, I hope you'll take, a previous caller recommended a book to you by Smedley Butler called War is a Racket.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that all of you, anybody who has not read that, you need to read that.
All right.
You really need to read that. And the recommendation about the Confessions of an Economic Hitman is another excellent one, because I know that at your age it's very difficult for you to understand how evil our country can be and the world can be. And so you really, the key is education. The key is doing your research, getting in there, doing the work, and educating yourself. Now, there's one particular young man there who's talking about the military offering career opportunities and all this other stuff. And my friend, when you're laying in the ditch and your friend next to you that you grew up with, his brains splatter all over your face because his head has just exploded, or his guts are on the ground and he's crying for his mama, you might have a different opinion about the military.
Thank you, caller, for your opinion. Once again, I would like to remind everyone that the number is 456-9991.
Hi.
Hi, caller, you're on the air.
Well, one thing I would like to do is say thank you for all of you for being such an interesting panel to listen to. And I'd like to say that in general about your show. You do a really good job.
Thank you.
Also, I'd like to say that I agree with the caller that called and said that she's for peace, aren't we all? I'm a veteran, too.
Mm-hmm.
I served in the time of the Vietnam War. And when I chose to serve, well, I should say when I joined up, it was because of, I would say, a lot of economic reasons. I thought I didn't have very many choices, and I joined the Army. Now that I'm 52 years old and have grandchildren and children, I pray that my kids choose different options,
mm-hmm.
especially when we're at war, and we are at war, and it is awful. We're committing war against people that live somewhere else. And my children are going to be asked to participate in the killing of some other people's children. And it's just an awful, awful thing. I'm for peace. God bless all of you guys, including the guy that said that the deal that gave us a chance to call in and say that we're all for peace. You're all doing a good job of debating about these things, and keep up the good work.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, I'd like to comment. I don't think that, well, there might be some people. I don't think there are any people who aren't for peace. I mean, I'm for peace. I know Patty is. Sean, you're for peace. I was simply stating that peace cannot always be a solution. You know, Hitler was defeated by military and military recruitment. The issue of slavery in this country was defeated by military and military recruitment. And those are, you know, big things that probably couldn't have been solved by signing papers or by friendly talks or whatever, anything like that. Whenever peace is a solution, I strongly urge anyone to be for peace and to look for the peaceful route.
I feel that we don't give enough mm-hmm. energy into talking and trying to reach a middle ground between...
We're a trigger-happy nation.
Yeah, we're much more ready to go to war than to say, okay, I'll give some if you give some.
Mm-hmm.
But
peace is the goal. I mean, it might not always be the solution, but it is the long-term goal, what we're looking for.
Yes, it is.
All right.
Caller, you're on the air?
Yeah, hi. One of the things that I was thinking about is that one of the answers that we really need to focus on is, like, the generation of today.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, you know, I mean, we follow history and, you know, we do, like, we read our history books and we see how so many different wars have been started over religion and, you know, just, like, how wars have been started over the most ridiculous little things. And I think that, I mean, like, with today, how I think that war isn't, I guess it isn't exposed enough, and I think that people, like, one of the things that I appreciate is that, I mean, Owen has a different opinion than you and Patty, and I think that even though you may agree one way or another, I think the different opinions definitely help give people a broader idea, because I think people get too close-minded or, like, mm-hmm. set on their own idea, and they don't really focus on, you know, like, what the other solutions are. I think that with today that, I mean, best answer for us to have peace is, you know, to basically know as much as possible and, you know, look at all the different solutions and not just have our mind stuck on one straight track and, you know, actually explore different areas and mm-hmm. to, like, you know, get beyond our own personal biases or whatever.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sorry, but that's all we have for this month's edition of You Speaks Out. Your hosts tonight have been me, Sean, and...
Owen.
And Patty.
Thanks to our callers. One of the purposes of this show is to involve the community in dialogue, so your call-ins are important to us. We're happy to have been able to broadcast from the Willett Studio. Youth Speaks Out is in need of funding. If you as an individual or organization can help sponsor this project, please contact the director, Dan Roberts. Dan may be reached by phone at 459-1760, by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of a show, and listen to many hours of previous programming of streaming audio. That's www.youthspeaksout.net. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX, and they're the views of the people who express them, us as the speakers. Our next show will be the last Sunday of the month. That's March 26th at 6 p.m. Thanks for listening, and good night.
I would also like to give out a Mendo a number. It's the Mendo Lake Draft Counseling Network. It's the coordinator is Steven Seiler. It's the number is 707-937-1316. Thank you and good night.
Good evening.
Good night.